Okay, today we continue with our study or a series on spiritual warfare. Okay? And today we will look at the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And God, we need to put that off. We look at the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But before that, the Holy Spirit woke me up in the, at night today. And he wanted me, he spoke to my heart something that I believe I need to start the message with. Something, a bonus that God wants, something extra that he wants to pass on to you. Amen. And I'm not surprised because that aligns with what we're going to be teaching today about the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The first thing to tell you about the sword of the Spirit is that that sword belongs to the Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Spirit is the one in charge of the sword, not you. Amen. Is the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's not a sword you can wield yourself. It's a sword that the Holy Spirit will have to help you to wield. Amen. If you try to wield it yourself, you'll not achieve much. It's the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So like I said, this is just a preamble. It's just, something extra. The Holy Spirit brought alive. And we bless you. The power that is operating here in this auditorium today will overflow to the Sunday school. As I'm speaking, that power will touch people in the Sunday school. Amen. Luke chapter 1. We're looking at verse 34 to verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to verse 38. Okay, let's have someone read it. Luke chapter 1. Verse 34 to verse 38. Someone was not read today? Yes? Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 38. Please, follow in your Bible.
Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was born. For with God nothing will be impossible."
Amen.
Amen.
Say, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Later on, when I'm teaching, I'll preach a little now. When I'm teaching, I will expose that verse and show you that it's deeper than what we say. Amen. You see, the angel came to Mary. That was Angel Gabriel. And he told her Mary was a virgin. Yeah? She was probably, 18 or 17. Amen? And the angel told her, you're going to conceive. I said, "How shall these things be? Because I know not a man." Amen? Now, you may be here. You have your own situation. There are facts that are being reported to you. There are physical facts that tell you that you are limited. There are medical facts that tell you that you are in a situation. Are you with me? And you begin to ask yourself, "How shall these things be?" Amen? Someone say, "How shall these things be?" Hallelujah. But I want you to remember today that there is a power that created the world. That power is greater than any physical fact you can see. Because those physical facts are not even exist without the laws of God that sustains life. Hallelujah. That power is greater than any medical facts that have been presented. And that's where you need to put your focus. Is that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Hallelujah. What can limit the power of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I don't care about facts. I care about what God is doing. Hallelujah. Facts will not help you. Facts limit you. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you to intervene in your situation, all the limitations don't matter. Because He is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the limitations of this world don't matter in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? All. Above all.
Such as to say, God is greater. Hallelujah. And so when the facts present themselves, I need to set my focus. Actually, I'm just jumping. Let me take it easy. Amen. You see, when the word of God has come to you, it's time to ignore any other contrary fact. Hallelujah. Now, if you have not received the word of God, yes, enjoy the fact. But when the word of God has come to you, yeah, you ignore the fact and begin to follow the word. Hallelujah. Jesus was walking on the water. Yeah? The disciples were afraid. It was a storm. And then Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. And then he said, what? Come. That word is not ordinary. Because before Jesus said come, he has already assessed the situation. That word come is a word that comes with power. It's an authorization. Yeah? To do what I'm doing. Amen? It was an ordinary word. He said, come. Before Jesus said come, he has considered all the risk. I'm walking over there. You come. Now, when you receive that word, no fact will matter. Hallelujah. You are in a situation, yeah, and you have gone to receive prayer. From the moment you receive prayer, open to Mark 11. Open to Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. I need someone to read for me verse 24. Mark 11. Someone who has not spoken today. Mark 11, verse 24. Yes. Mark 11, 24. Please follow in your Bible.
It says, therefore I say unto you.
Therefore I'm saying to you.
What things soever ye desire.
Anything you desire.
When ye pray.
When you have prayed about it. Believe, what do you do?
Believe that ye receive them.
When do you believe that you receive it?
And ye shall have them.
Amen. When do you believe that you receive it? When you prayed. Not when you have it, but when you what? When you prayed. Let me tell you why it has to be like that. Because God is a spirit. So you just say, God is a spirit. So when you pray to God, God first answers your prayer in the spirit. And the moment God has answered your prayer in the spirit, it's legal. It's a reality. It may take some time to manifest in the physical, but it has been conceived already. The only reason why it will not manifest in the physical is that something stopped it. He said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. When? Then. Hallelujah. You have been prayed for. You have to believe that you have received it then. For example, somebody is sick. Well, you go to a man of God, like your pastor. Amen? You know, I'm a man of God. Amen? And he has prayed for you. Believe that you receive it then. Hallelujah. So when you believe that, you know what happens? Spiritually, it's yours. Hallelujah. And so long you hold on to it, it will also become yours physically. Because everything that exists in the physical first existed in the spiritual. Hallelujah. If you believe that you receive it and you don't let go, it must manifest in the physical. How shall this thing be? Because the power of the Holy Ghost will fulfill it. That's how. Amen. The facts may not be able to support it, but the power of the Holy Ghost will fulfill it. Hallelujah. See, we're not talking madness or craziness. I said the power of the Holy Ghost can create a new reality for you. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost can supersede all your limitations. Hallelujah. But you need to see it. You need to put your focus on it. When the word of God has come to you, lay hold on it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. That word is epilambando in Greek. You lay hold. Say lay hold. Hallelujah. When God has given you something in the spirit, you lay hold on it by faith. So long you don't let go, it will become your reality in the physical. You ignore any contrary fact. Because those facts are not going to help you anyway. Hallelujah. And those facts are not gospel truth anyway. They are not valid in heaven. Hallelujah. He said, how shall these things be? He said, the power of the Holy Spirit. We what? Come. When the power of the Holy Spirit has already come upon you to intervene in your situation, that's your reality. You ignore that fact. And begin to thank God and say, Father, thank you for you. Because your power is at work in me. Hallelujah. Your power is what? At work in me. So just say, the power of God is at work in me. We need to begin to see that that's the real reality. Hallelujah. He said, with God, All things are what? Possible. I just quickly, before I move into the sword of the spirit, actually I'm talking the sword of the spirit. I'll show you later that I'm still talking about the sword of the spirit. Is that in Luke 1, I spent time to read the whole of Luke 1, midnight when the Holy Spirit woke me up. You see two stories, or two women, yeah, and one man. Amen? The first story was the story of Zechariah. Zechariah went, he was a high priest, and he went to give the offering in the Holy of Holies. And the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Yeah? You go back and read it. But the summary is that he said the Lord has answered your prayer. So the first thing I'm thinking is Zechariah must have been what? Praying. And he said, you know, your wife Elizabeth in her old age, she of whom had been said to be barren, we conceive. Amen? So Elizabeth's problem was two problems. There was a medical problem and also an age problem. Yeah? But he said what? She will conceive. Are you with me? But Zechariah, he said, how can I be sure? That means I need a sign. Now, you've been praying about something, yeah? God brings the answer, but he asks you for what? A sign. Hello? What type of prayer is that? A prayer that is not based on faith. When the answer comes, you should rejoice. The word came. I know. As at that time, Elizabeth had not yet conceived. Yeah? But the word has come. When the word of God has come, you don't need a sign. You hold on to the word. Are you listening to that? When the word of God, the specific word of God, has come to you about your situation, you don't need any more sign. You got the word. He's got his word on it. Hallelujah. His word has, when the word of God has come, you don't need a sign. So you know what angel Gabriel told him? He said, I will give you a sign. Signs can be dangerous. But it was a sign to reward his unbelief. So he kept him silent for 9 months. It was a sign. It was still a sign. Hallelujah. You see what? A sign. When the word has come, ignore the facts. I'm going to run with the word. When God has spoken to you, hallelujah, you have his word on it. Amen? That word, Isaiah 55 says, he said, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. The only reason why it will fail is it can fail in your life if you don't hold on to it. Amen? But what God has given a word, it can never fail. Hallelujah. So Mary said, in her own case, same angel, 6 months later, went to Mary. And you know, Zechariah could not be spared. Zechariah was supposed to be a man of God. He should know better. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 37. Luke 1. I'm preaching. I'm still going to move into teaching mode. There's a place for both of them. Different anointing. Luke 1. Verse 38 is what I'm looking for. Someone read for me Luke chapter 1 verse 38. I want to show you what Zechariah missed and what Mary got. Luke 1:38. Yes, where's the mic? Yes, okay. Who has not read? Yes, okay. Luke 1 verse 38. Please read.
Then Mary said,
Then Mary said to the angel,
Behold the maid servant of the Lord.
Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Yes.
Let it be to me according to your word.
Let it. Somebody say, let it. Be to me according to your word. That's the way to respond. If you want miracles in your life, amen, you have to believe that you received it. And then you will have it. Amen. When God has given you his word, you don't need a sign. You say, thank you. Start celebrating that word. Amen. That word itself has the power to produce the result. Now, somebody give me Luke 1:37 from the Amplified version. Amplified classic. Luke 1:37 says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. That's what we quote all the time, isn't it? Yeah? But that's not the way he said it in Greek. It's deeper than that. It's correct. It's correct. But it's deeper. Amen. Luke 1:37, Amplified classic. Yes. Luke 1:37.
for with God.
Listen, for with God.
Nothing is ever impossible.
Nothing is ever impossible. Continue.
And no word from God.
And no word from God.
Shall be without power.
Shall be without power. We stop there. Stop there for time. In the Greek, what is translated as with God, not shall be impossible. In the Greek, it's saying that no word from God shall be void of power. When God releases word, yeah, it has the power. It has a self-fulfilling power. When the word of God comes to you, yeah, you can take hold of it and it will deliver the result. And that's what Mary is saying, be it unto me according to your word. When you take hold of that word in the spiritual, it's yours already. And because it's yours in the spiritual and you persevere with it, the physical is small compared to the spiritual. Amen? Whatever you've got in the spiritual and you persevere with it becomes your reality sooner than later. Hallelujah. No word from God is void of what? Power. That's why you've never seen God. Have you wondered why you've never seen God? The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. Even the people that saw God in those days, it was Jesus himself. No one has seen God at any time. You know why? Because when God wants to reveal himself or when God wants to intervene in your life, in your situation, what does he do? He will release his word. Even when God wanted to save the world, he sent his word and his word became flesh. No word from God is void of power. When you've received the word of God, when you've seen the hand of God in your life, start running with it. Don't meditate on any contrary fact. That's not your business. Amen? The Holy Ghost power is greater. Say that again. Say the Holy Ghost power working in my life is greater than any physical fact. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, let's deliver that well. Now let's move to the teaching. We looked at the armor of God. We're taking it easy. Started from the helmet of salvation. And we explained that the helmet is not just salvation. The helmet is the hope of salvation. It's the hope of salvation that keeps your head cool when you're going through stuff. Hallelujah. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And we said it's not just a breastplate. It's a body armor. Amen? And you know, a body armor is very vital. It protects all your vital organs. And we're saying that righteousness starts with your standing with God. But it does not end there. Amen? The reason why you have a right standing with God, which is through the blood of Jesus, yeah, is so that you can reproduce the good works. Hallelujah. We are created in Christ just to reproduce the good works. I said, and I remember telling you, said, never ever say again that I'm not Jesus, because that's exactly your calling. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of what? The world. Another person said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But when I check out, who is the light now? It's you. Amen? You are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. So righteousness means I have access to the Father. Amen? Righteousness means the promises of God belong to me. Righteousness means that when I sin, I can go back and confess my sins. And he's faithful and just to what? Forgive me and what? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That gives me confidence to reproduce the works of Jesus. By the way, the works of Jesus are not love and joy and peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of Christ is exactly the same works he did. And he said that he that believes in me, the works I do, the same you will do. And greater works. Someone is in need, spiritual or physical, they need Jesus. You are the Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you have the Spirit of God in you. And you have a right standing with God. Hallelujah. So just say, Father, I thank you because you hear me. That's righteousness. When you pray and you know that God, what? Hears you. And someone said, if you know that God hears you, he hears you. If you don't know that God hears you, probably he didn't hear. Hallelujah. We talked about the belt of truth. And we said that truth is the word of God. But it's much more than the word of God. It's sound doctrine based on the balanced knowledge of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah, that's truth. It holds you together. And we talked about the fifth shot. And we said that the fifth shot is not the gospel of peace. The fifth shot is the preparation, the willingness, the readiness to do God's will, the willingness to take it further. Hallelujah. When you are willing and obedient, what will happen? You will eat the good. Hallelujah. When you are willing, you go and preach. In fact, today I want to redefine the fifth shot and say, it's not just willingness. The fifth shot is love. You see, when you are walking in love towards God, you are willing. Hallelujah. When you are not willing to serve or to take it for that, you are not walking in love towards God. That's why the Bible says that faith works by love. Are you still with me? Just a recap, and we talk about the shield of faith. Today I want to tell you something about the shield of faith that is different from what you've known. Okay? Just bear with me. Okay, I'll show you the shield of faith. I'll come back to it. So let's just go to the sword and I'll come back to that question. So question now is, now today we are looking at the sword of the Spirit. So the question is, what is the function of a sword? Where's my mic? No? You can start. You can start from that corner. What is the function of a sword? Any answer we do? Think about it. A sword in battle. A sword in battle. Yeah, look at him. Look at that. Look at that gladiator. What is the function of a sword? But again, in spiritual battle. But again, just start from wherever you want to start from. Starting with Audrey.
To help you defend yourself.
To defend? Okay. I didn't say it's good, but I say it's okay. Yes, do you want to help her?
To attack.
To attack? Yeah? So, what do you think? Sword, is it for defending or attacking? Okay. What did I miss? This side? A sword. What is the function?
Kill.
To kill? Yes. Yeah, nobody has eat what I'm looking for, but the closest is attack. Continue.
To chop.
To what?
To chop.
To cut in pieces. like when you're in the kitchen. Yeah? And you have a very difficult meat. You've tried all your knives, not working. Just go now and look for a sword. Yes? What's the function of a sword? In battle. Think deep.
Is to fight.
To fight? Yes. Yes and no. But yes, that's a basic yes for a physical battle. Later we'll show you that it's a no for a spiritual battle.
I think it's a defensive and offensive weapon.
Okay.
You can use to protect yourself in battle.
Used to protect yourself, but it's defensive and offensive. And someone said offense is the greatest form of what? Defense. At least in football. Yeah. Yes.
To scare the enemy.
To scare the enemy. Yes, I like that one. I like it. Yes. The sword.
Is to disarm the enemy.
To disarm. Yes, I like it. I like it. Yes.
Break and destroy.
To destroy. I like destroy. Yes. Any other one? Okay, let's move on for time. I think you got some of my answers. Now, generally speaking, if you look at just physical warfare, especially of the old times, you will say a sword is an instrument for defending and what? Attacking. But you know, all the other weapons we've looked at, they are all defensive. So the unique thing about the sword is attacking. Yeah, compared to all the others, okay? You can't use a shield to attack. You use it to what? Defend. So this let me just summarize it. The sword is a mobile attacking weapon. It's an attacking weapon, but it's also mobile. Yeah? It can be directed at something specific. You with me? So, it's mobile. It is used to strike. Yeah? And destroy. Okay? I agree with something you said. It's, this is the one I like. Who said, scare the enemy? Yeah? And what did you say? Disarm. The sword is used to advance against the enemy. Yeah? The sword can make the enemy shift ground for you. Amen? You see, if you are just using only defensive weapons, the enemy may not be able to penetrate you, but they won't shift ground
It doesn't mean they will shift ground. You with me? You put on all your defensive weapons. They can't penetrate you, but they can't shift. They don't necessarily shift ground. You with me? But a sword makes the enemy to what? To shift ground. Or it enables you to advance against the enemy. Yeah? Are you with me? So that's why you understand that what's happening in your life sometimes, that I will show you this later, that many Christians, they only put on defensive weapons and they don't gain ground. They're just maintaining the ground they've gained. And if they're unlucky, some weapons of the devil go in, the devil gains more ground against them. If they're not using their shield well. No sword, no advancement. Say to your neighbor, say, no sword, no advancement. Now let me just quickly explain this. You see, in the physical, there's a sword fight. But in the spiritual, you are not called to have a sword fight with the devil. Because, you know, if you watch a sword fight, and I probably say don't watch it, people get injured. Yeah? No matter the weapons you have on, a sword fight will injure you. Are you listening to that? No matter the weapons you have on, except you are highly skilled. Highly skilled. If you are having a sword fight, you have a high risk of getting injured. You are not called to have a sword fight with the devil. Amen? That's not the function of the sword of the spirit. It doesn't operate like that at all. What are you called to do to the devil? He said, submit yourself to God. Resist what? The devil. So, in terms of warfare, the one you engage with the devil is a resistance. And you do that with the shield of faith. The Bible says, hold up the shield of faith. That way you can quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And I was seeming to imply to you last night that the devil does not have a sword. He has fiery what? Darts. Because before the devil can get you, he needs to get your mind. Huh? Through your thoughts and your feelings. Yeah? Then he's ready to dominate you. And to get your mind, he needs to use darts. You with me? They are tiny arrows to penetrate the smallest opening. Yeah? And you have to hold up that shield of faith. Hallelujah. Now, before I go more into the sword of spirit, I just wanted to explain this to you. You see, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, yeah? And the devil said, you know, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And he said, it is written, I shall not be by bread alone, by every word. Question I'm asking you is this. What was he doing? Was he defending or attacking? Give me a reason why you think any answer. So Jesus, the devil, all the things of Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus always said, it is written, you know, man shall not live by bread, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God. Was he defending against the devil or was he attacking? And tell me why you think so.
He was attacking.
Why do you think so?
Because with those words, the devil will run away with it.
Okay. I mean, obviously, he didn't run away in the first two. Well, and I can assure you that he came back later. Yeah? You know that there was then Jesus said to the Pharisees, hey, your father, the devil. Yeah, so he always comes back. Okay? So, yeah, thank you for the answer. It's a good answer. I didn't say it's perfect. Now, someone has a different opinion. You believe that he was defending. And why?
Yeah, I'll say it was counter-attacking.
Okay.
Counter-attacking or self-defense.
Okay, self-defense.
In a more better, in a more better way.
Okay, fine.
And the reason...
Why?
The reason why is because the person who attacks is the aggressor. And Christ wasn't the aggressor. So it was a defense.
Okay. Okay, anyone who firmly believes he was defending, and why? Now let me try the, you know, husband and wife. So whatever trouble comes, we will solve it before you go home.
I think, for me, I think Jesus was defending himself because the devil was the one that first came to him, and that was a form of attack to kind of get the get Jesus into submission. So that was a way of sending him back, defending himself as well.
Let's stop there. Let's stop there because of time. You know, for many years, thank God for revelation. Revelation is progressive. Amen? That's why you need to stay in fellowship. Revelation is what? progressive. And that's why you need to stay where? In fellowship. In fact, if you get a revelation today and you walk out of fellowship, you will lose that revelation. Guaranteed. It's just a matter of time. Revelation is preserved by fellowship. Amen? Now, I used to think that it was like a sword fight. Devil attacked, he attacked him. Amen? Hallelujah? But no. He was holding up the shield of faith. Remember? The devil fired those fiery darts at him. Yeah? Every time you say, it is written. What are you doing? You are holding up the shield of faith. He was not advancing. He was not advancing. He was not taking any new territory. He was protecting himself. Yeah? From those fiery darts of the devil. Amen? It is written is not attack. It is written is not advancement. It is written is what? Defense. And that's what you should be doing. That's how you hold the shield of faith. When the devil comes up with fear or with lust or with pride, you got to hold up that shield and say, it is written. Hallelujah. If the devil tempts me with lust, I have to hold up the shield of faith and say, it is written. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. What am I doing? I'm still holding up my shield of faith. When the devil attacks my health, he can. He's a thief, remember? A thief doesn't need a license. Yeah? Although sometimes thieves respect, depending on the security you put in place. They look at you and say, no, I can't try that one. Then they look at the other man, no security. Door is open. Okay, let's go. But when he comes, you hold up the shield of faith and say, you know what? Jesus Christ himself was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The punishment for my peace and well-being has been laid on Christ. Satan, pack your load and be gone. Anytime you say it is written against the devil, you are holding up your shield of faith. Don't forget that. Very important you understand that. It's not a sword fight. It is written, it's not a sword fight. It is written, it's the holding up of the shield of faith. That's how you quench the fairy dust of the devil. And that's why if you don't renew your mind with the word and let the word of God dominate you, you will not be able to quench the fairy dust of the devil. When he comes with his idea, you will reason with him and accept. Because the word is not in there. Hallelujah. So just say it is written. That's the shield of faith. You know, if I stop there, I've taught you something important today. Hallelujah. The sword is for advancing against the enemy. The sword is for taking new territory. You can't destroy the devil. I hope you know that. You know you can't destroy the devil. Otherwise, somebody should have destroyed him. But you can destroy his works. And you can put him to flight. Hallelujah. You can't destroy the devil, but you can what? Destroy his works and put him to flight. That's what your sword does for you. The sword destroys the works of the devil. And the sword puts him to flight. The sword is very important. Hallelujah. And the sword is not, it is written. It is written is the shield of faith. Hallelujah. So let's advance now. And I love advancement. The sword is for advancing. Aha! This is where I wanted to get to all along. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. What is the sword of a believer? That thing that God has equipped you with that helps you to advance. That helps you to take new territory. That helps you to destroy the works of the devil. And to put him to flight. Okay. I have many hands. I love that. Okay, let's start from the front. The sword of the believer.
The sword is the word of God.
Yes, the sword is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Does that's a good answer?
And the shepherd and the two-edged sword.
And it's about them. Thank you so much. We are building it. Yeah? That's the foundation. But it's not the revelation. Yes? Let's move on. What's the sword?
The Bible.
You know why I won't stop there? Because if you say it is all the word of God, someone say, well, when I say it is written, I'm using my sword. Yes? Continue. I used to think like that too.
Bible.
I thought like that for many years because I read it. It's very plain in the Bible. Yeah? We just have to look at it deeper and understand what the Bible is saying. Continue.
So, it's the Bible.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. Actually, I forgot a statement to tell you. Apologies, sister. Yeah? Please, if you don't remember anything today, remember this. The sword is not your Bible. It's never. In fact, sometimes you watch some very ignorant videos, yeah? And the devil is attacking them and they are putting their Bible. Ah, I resist you, I resist you. You see, this Bible is just a book. It is the words in it that carry power. But they are not yet powerful until those words enter your mind. And then from your mind into what? Your spirit. Otherwise, you can buy 1,000 Bibles, use it to protect your door and your window. It will stop the devil. It's a spirit. Are you with me? The sword is not your Bible. Amen? Don't worry, I will bail you out. I don't want to confuse you. Amen? Yes, let's ask some other answer. Yes, what is the sword of a true believer? Yes, I come to you.
Word of a true believer is his word.
Yes.
The word quote from the word of God.
Yes, I don't disagree with that statement. In fact, it's very clear in the Bible that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. I'm just looking.
No, your word that you speak in.
Your
verbally,
own word.
Yeah, you verbally.
Yeah, the word you say. Is the sword of the Spirit. Okay, that's another level.
From the word of God.
From the word of God. Okay, the word of God which you say is the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's another level. Yeah, that's something. That is a good answer, because you will need to speak the word of God, isn't it? But that's not where we're going. Yes. What's the sword of the Spirit?
The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven.
Yes.
Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven.
Yes.
So it is what you use, you know, the potency of God for, what you use the word of God for.
Yes. How you use the word of God, or what you use the word of God for, or, let me help you, the word of God applied to your situation. That's a close answer. That's like the best answer so far. It's not the answer. It's not the answer. But it's the best answer so far. That it's the word of God. But now, you say it's the word of God applied to your situation. That's close. Yes, let me have 2 more answers. Okay, 3 more. 3 more, no more. 3 more, yes. Oh, help me. I'm coming to you. Yes?
I believe the word is speaking the word of God authoritatively, and it's also the name of Jesus.
Okay, the sword is speaking the word of God. That's what you saw, similar to what you said, authoritatively. Yes, that's good, absolutely. And you will need to do that. Yeah, if you want to put the devil's lies. Okay, no more new hands. Help me, then 2 more, then move on for time. Yeah, what's the sword of the Spirit?
Jesus,
okay. I think we are deviating now. We need to stay within the text. Try to interpret it from the text only. Yes?
Yeah, is your knowledge of the word of God.
Your knowledge of the word of God. But we said the knowledge of the word of God is truth. Didn't we say that? It's a good answer. It's a good answer. Don't misunderstand me. We have defined that as truth. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And truth actually is knowledge. Sound doctrine bade us a balanced knowledge of God's word. Yes. Finally, the sword of the Spirit.
I think you see it in there. The word of God... This word of God is the word of God.
Yes.
It's true prayer.
Okay. Thank you. Let's stop there. No more. For time. Now, before I take you out, I'm going to take you in. Okay, let's just do some mathematics here. So, look at the screen there. So, when we say the shield of faith, what is the shield? What is the shield? Faith. No, I'm just looking for the name. The shield of faith. So what is the shield? Faith. Do you agree? Yeah? The breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate? What is the breastplate? Come on, church, you can do better. What's the breastplate? Uh-huh. The helmet of salvation. What is the helmet? Now, the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword? The sword is the Spirit. The sword is what? It's the Spirit. You cannot advance without the Spirit. The sword in spiritual warfare is what? The Spirit. He's the one that will direct the warfare and tell you what to do and how to do it. And he's the one that has the secret to victory. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Open to John chapter 6. I will link it. Okay? Brother, I will link it, so don't worry. A teacher, we have to link it. An evangelist will just give you like that and go. But a teacher must balance it and link it. John chapter 6, verse 63. Let's have it. Someone who has not said anything today. John chapter 6, verse 63. The sword is the spirit. Yes. Yes. John chapter 6, verse 63. Are you ready? I'll come to you later. John 6, 63. Please read it. Please follow your Bible.
It is the spirit.
It is the spirit.
Who gives life.
Who gives advancement.
He is the life giver.
He is the life giver.
The flesh conveys no benefit
the
whatsoever.
Flesh, including your knowledge. Including what? Your knowledge. Because your knowledge of God's word is still in your brain. Amen? Yeah? It's the spirit that gives what? Life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. If you are going to put the devil to flight, if you are going to take new territory, if you are going to advance, if you are going to enter uncommon breakthrough, an uncommon miracle, you need what? The Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Hallelujah. The only reason why with God all things are possible is because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Without the Holy Spirit, all things are not possible. But I was saying in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the deep. Yeah? And the Spirit of the Lord was moving. Then God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. It's the Spirit that brings it into being. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sword is what? The sword is what? The Spirit. Satan says, I cannot afford to do without the Spirit. Let me just explain to you. Every true child of God must necessarily have the Holy Spirit living in them. You cannot be born again except by the Spirit of God. Amen? The way Jesus lives in you is by His Spirit. Hallelujah. When you accepted Jesus, He came in through His Spirit. He said, He will represent me. Hallelujah. So to yourself, you are born again. Say to yourself, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. This Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. You can never be a child of God if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? And you see, the Holy Spirit living in you is not for fun. It's the secret to your victory. It's the secret to your overcoming the devil. It's the secret, to your dismantling the chaos that Satan tries to bring into your life. The sword is what? The Spirit. Now, let me now quickly link it. Because if I stop there, I'm going to have lots of questions after the service. So, Ephesians 6:17, listen very carefully now. He said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Amen? So, this is where we explain it. Just relax. To understand it, we need to go back to the original language that the Bible was written in, the New Testament. It was written in Greek. Okay? And in the Greek translation of the Bible, two words are used for word. So you have the logos and the rhema. Amen? The logos is the written word of God. The logos conceals what has been revealed before. The whole body of revelation is what? The logos. Amen? John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the logos. The title of Jesus Christ himself is what? The logos. Because it's the full revelation of God. Amen? Is the old body. Jesus is the old body of revelation of God. Okay? In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. See, I'm not belittling the Logos. You need the Logos. The written word of God. Amen? But there's another word that is used for a word, which is the Rhema. The Rhema is the active word of God. What God is saying to you now. What God has instructed you to do now. What God has revealed to you now. A rhema is the specific word of God to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose. So for example, look, Jesus was walking on the water. It was a storm. They were trying to survive. They see Jesus. Then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And then Jesus said to Peter, look, that very directly. In fact, it looks to me that if the other apostles, disciples, stepped out, they would have sinked. Because that word was for Peter. He said, come, that's a rhema. He gave him his rhema. Come. Within that rhema is a guarantee that you will not sink. Are you with me? Jesus will not tell you to come walk on the water if he knew you would sink. Do you agree? No, let's reason it. I want you to relate to your situation. Jesus will not tell you personally to come and walk on the water if he knew you would sink. So, come is a rhema to Peter. Do you know? Let me show you another thing. But that scripture I just read to you now is a logos to us. Are you with me? It was a rhema to Peter. Yeah? But it's a logos to us. In the logos, we understand that God can do this. Amen? In the logos, we understand what God can do. In the rhema, he's instructing us to do it. Hallelujah? Are you still with me? So, Ephesians 6:17 in Greek, it reads, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. The sword is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the rhema. The Spirit brings the word of God to life in you, and he applies it for you. He is the one that wields the sword. All we just need to do is depend on him. He can't wield the sword without us. He wielding it for us with our cooperation. Because when the Spirit wields the sword and he gives you a revelation, if you don't act on it, it's zero. He gives you a direction, you don't act on it, it's zero. He gives you an instruction, you don't act on it, it's what? Zero. But if you want to advance against Satan, yeah, you need direction. Say, I need direction. I need instruction. Say, I need instruction. And I need revelation. Sometimes I'm claiming the scripture. And you should claim the scriptures. That's the logos. Because you don't get to rhema without what? The logos. The logos. You know what the logos does for you? That's the written word of God. Yeah? It develops you. It changes you. It transforms you. And also as we see here, it protects you. Because every item of defense in spiritual warfare is from the logos. The logos establishes you in truth. The logos establishes you in righteousness. The logos establishes you in what? In love, willingness. The logos establishes you in faith. And the logos establishes you in hope. Amen? The logos is your protection. The logos develops you. 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture, that's logos, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yeah? That you may be thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah. But after you are thoroughly furnished, you need the Spirit to command the advance. He is the commander of the advance. Hallelujah. Is what? Luke 1:37, which I thought of before. Relationship with God, all things are possible. I said the original version from Greek is no word, yeah, of God is without power. Another version says no word of God can fail. That word there is rhema. How do we prove it? Angel came to Zechariah's rhema. He's still asking for a sign. Are you with me? That's why they have to give him a naughty sign. You understand what I'm saying? But that sign actually protected him. Because if he didn't close his mouth, he will use his mouth to spoil it. He said, I don't believe it's possible. He will just destroy the miracle. Huh? Because his problem is in the scripture that because he did not believe, so he had the unbelief problem, isn't it? And I said that unbelief must always come out through the mouth, isn't it? So the way the God protected Zechariah from destroying his miracle was to shut his mouth. And it was a sign. Are you with me? Is this not just what Zechariah read from the Bible? Oh, that we know that, Sarah was 90 years old and she received strength to conceive. Yeah? When we read that, that's logos. But it's important because when we know that, it prepares us. You see, when I read that and God is not telling me that it will happen to me, it's easier to believe it because I've been prepared by the logos. Are you with me? But angel came to give Zechariah Rema. Something he had been praying for. He now said he needs sign. You don't need a sign. You need to grab all the word and run with that Rema. Because Rema has his own power to fulfill it. It's self-fulfilling. No word of God, no Rema of God can fail. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was there a question? I saw some hands, one or two. On this room. Okay, let's move on for time. Thank you, sir. It's good to encourage your pastor. He's like a good cook, yeah? You know, like a woman, when you cook a nice meal and they eat it, no comment. No comment. Is that nice? Whether they bought the raw materials or not, does it matter? Praise the Lord. Say, just say, the sword is the spirit, and the spirit is the rhema. Jesus is the Logos in embodiment. The spirit is the rhema in embodiment. You need both the Logos and the rhema. Or let me say, to be victorious, to advance, you need both the word and the spirit. The spirit wields the word. When the spirit wields the word for you, you are sharpshooting. Amen? Sometimes, you know, it has happened to me. I'll give you an example, you know. There was a time that, you know, my son was, little son was having an infection in the hair. I don't know what it's called. Looked like a ringworm. And I know that it's not an hygiene problem. Well, in general, there's a good level of hygiene. I prayed for him. I laid hands on him. I did everything. I rebuked the thing. Normally, she walk, yeah, but it's not working, you know. In fact, before long, his brother caught it. So what's happening to my faith here? Yeah. It's not a faith problem. It's a rhema problem. Until the Holy Spirit spoke, gave me rhema. He said, you need to give him a shower every day. Now, it's not as if I don't know that, yeah? But I just thought like once in 2 days, it's okay. And I just clean him up. Because there's so much to do in the morning. I told his mom, it looks so simple. But until we did that, we didn't have that victory. And it's so simple. It's not as if it's dirty. See, you need to give him a what? That's rhema. Are you with me? Anytime the Spirit is speaking to you, the only thing the Spirit knows how to speak is what? Rhema. Because the Spirit is the rhema. He will take the Logos and bring it to life. Amen? He will give you instruction and direction. The instruction you get and the direction you get from the Spirit is the key to your breakthrough. Hallelujah. You are praying about something and God tells you, don't worry. I will do it. That you got a rhema. Start running with it. The next day, wake up and say, thank you, Father God. Because you will what? Do it. You don't need a sign, you got to remember. Praise the Lord. Let me take a question. I saw a hand up. Yes. I need to round up in 5 minutes now. So keep that within an hour.
You see how the Bible says God is free. God is free by one. That the Word, the Spirit, and the Father. You see.
First John.
Yeah. You see the Bible says God the Father is a spirit. But the Holy Spirit is also a spirit. So I was wondering, so the Holy Spirit is a spirit and God is also a spirit. So that does that mean there's two spirits, if you know what I mean? Like, you know, yes. There's the Word, the Spirit, and the Spirit.
Yes.
So the word, Spirit, and what is God the Father? Is he is also spirit as well?
Yes. Like okay, let me explain that. It's not too difficult. The devil is a spirit. The demons are what? Spirit. Angel Michael is what? A spirit. Gabriel, uncle? Spirit. Angels are spirits. Hallelujah. That's why you don't see them every day. Hallelujah. They are all spirits. It's just that we are limited by the physical, yeah? That's why we cannot imagine the spiritual. They are all spirits. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Father is a spirit, yes. In fact, it's not just a spirit, it's the Father of... By the way, you yourself, you are what? A spirit. You are just living in a body. And that's why you can never die. If the body dies, you're still going to live forever. It's just where you are living. The Word is a spirit. It's eternal. The Word is eternal. Even before He became flesh, He's eternal. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is what? A spirit. Hallelujah. Not a problem. Amen. Spirits, even spirits have bodies, but they are spiritual bodies. You can't see them with your naked eye. Amen. For time's sake, I need to round up. Just take one comment, and then I will round up.
Sorry,
we continue next week.
I'm still a bit confused.
Okay. Ask your question.
You mentioned something just now. He said the Spirit wills the Word. So if the Spirit wills the Word, isn't the Word what the Spirit wills itself?
Yes.
He says the Spirit.
Yes.
Wills the Word.
The Word. The Spirit takes hold of the Word and brings it to life.
So the Word is different from the Spirit.
Yes. So when the Spirit wills the Word, it's Rhema. So the Word is Logos.
So if the Spirit, I say for example,
not your spirit,
no,
the Holy Spirit.
I'm using man as an example. I'm wielding.
Yes.
So there's something in my hands that I'm wielding. So what exactly is that thing that the Spirit is wielding?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. See, the Word, on its own is Logos. So the Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Yes, Jesus is the Word of God. He actually is. But I understand what you mean. So the Word of God, the Word of God, as knowledge, is Logos. But the Word of God that God speaks to you, it doesn't just come as knowledge. It also comes with empowerment by the Spirit. And then that's Rhema. That's Logos. Yeah, that's Logos. Because that's His Word is a revelation of who He is. The body of truth. Yeah? Like our Bible now, for example. This Bible reveals the character of God. Amen? Yeah? The Bible speaks to us. Yeah? When the Bible starts speaking to you directly, it's Rhema. When it becomes a specific instruction to you. So the Holy Spirit breathes upon the Logos and makes it what? Rhema. So what the Spirit is wielding is the Logos. But when the Spirit wields it, it becomes what? Rhema. And it's still the same Word. Amen? The Spirit brings it to it has happened to all of us here. You know, you are in a situation and the Holy Spirit just says something to you. And that changed everything for you. Yes?
A clear example is just the story of between Peter and the Ethiopian eunuch. Yeah, I was just kind of trying to explain to maybe giving an example.
Yes.
So he knew the Word of God, but through Peter, he got the Rhema.
Yes. Okay, so that's another example. So you had this eunuch in the Bible. He was reading the scriptures. Yeah? He went to Isaiah. You know, but he didn't understand. It was knowledge. His brain was processing. He didn't understand. Yeah? And then Peter, you know, the Spirit moved Peter there. He went to him and explain to him. But I tell you, even that explanation is still knowledge. Yeah? But you know when it becomes Rhema? When he entered conviction. Huh? When he entered conviction, something has spoken to him inside. Hallelujah. When the Word of God speaks to you inside, that's Rhema. Amen? Now, both Logos and Rhema are important. If you're not establishing Logos, how do you move to Rhema? You don't have Logos in you. What will the Spirit speak? Or why will you recognize that it's the Spirit? I tell you, you can't know the voice of God if you don't know the Logos of God. The Logos of voice trains, the Logos of God, which is the Bible or the written word, trains you in the voice of God. So that when the Rhema comes, you know, that was the same word. It has just come alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to stop there for time. Let me just see if I can mention one or two things now and say that Rhema is the Logos that God speaks to you personally. Applied to your personal situation. Yeah? Logos is Rhema is active. Is direct. It's direct. It's for you. In fact, actually, if I share with you the Rhema God has spoken to me, it becomes logos to you. You are just airing the information. It will encourage you. It will train you. It's not your rhema. Hallelujah. So I guess the next question is, which we do another day, how do we move from logos to rhema? Because I want to advance. I want to take new territory. Amen? I want to take what? New territory. God tells you, you are living in London. I want to tickle somebody. You are living in London. And God says you, the Holy Spirit tells you, move to Basingstoke. You can't read that from your Bible. That has to be a direct word. That's how you can take, to destroy the works of the devil, you need what? The communication of the Spirit. Because the Bible says the natural man, he cannot discern these things of the Spirit. Only the spiritual man can. Another way to interpret it is that, as you are, you know, let me give you a peep into next time. If you want to live in Rema so that you can continue to advance and take new territory and destroy the works of the devil, yeah, there is such a thing called the communion of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's as a peep. You have to commune with the Spirit. But actually, to get Rema, you need three communions. You need to commune with the Father. It's called prayer. Amen? You need to commune with the Word. It's called meditation. You come in with the logos. You call what? Meditation. From there you get Rema. And finally, you need to commune with the Spirit. It's called conversation. Why is he in you? Ask him and tell him. You know, they say, don't ask and tell. It's a lie. Ask and tell the Holy Spirit. Because as you begin to process your life through him, he will be giving you direction. He will be giving you instruction. And he will be giving you revelation. Something you will never be able to read in a book. And if you apply it, that any time the Holy Spirit has given an instruction, it comes with self-fulfilling power. The only way to fail is that you didn't obey or follow. Let's pray. Let's pray. Time is gone. Let's pray. I believe that God has taught you. You know, I didn't give the message just to excite you. I want to show you so how you can advance. How you can walk in victory. And you know, let's have the choir again. He said, no rhema from God is void of power. If you have the rhema that God has, sometimes you prayed. Then, when you finish praying, you fasted 3 days, God says something. That's rhema for you. It has power. Just follow through with it. Amen? Amen. That's what Jesus said, Mary said. He said, be it unto me according to your rhema. According, he has given the rhema. Be it unto me. You don't need a sign anymore. You heard the word. Just say, Father God, I recognize that I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need communion with the Holy Spirit. You see, your brain is not enough to conquer the devil. Your brain is just knowledge. It's not enough to conquer the devil. You need the help of the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. He searches all things. He knows the way. He searches all things. Father Lord, I yield myself to depend more on the Spirit. To commune more with the Spirit. And also to commune with the Word. That's called meditation. To meditate, you need to read it again. To meditate, you need to listen to it again. Some of you will never listen to this message again. You are not meditating. To meditate, you need to say it again. That's meditation. When you meditate, Rhema is coming. To have Rhema, you need to commune with the Father. Bible says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. You need to pray. Bible says, don't be worried about anything, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, when you go through that, Rhema is coming. Pray to God and say, Father, I want to walk. Not just in the logos, but in the rhema. Both are needed. You need the word, you need the Spirit. You need the word, you need the Spirit. You need Jesus, you need the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. I enter into victory. Say to yourself, say in the name of Jesus, by the word of God, the logos, and by the Spirit of God, the rhema, I enter into victory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the power of the Holy Spirit follow me. Just pray that for us. Let the power of the Holy Ghost